let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a Jubilee Sunday, a day when we have encouraged those who are able to be present in worship, and we hope that you have a chance to meet someone new this morning, to make a new connection in and through the life of our congregation. I'd like to take a moment to invite you to register your attendance to let us know that you're with us. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link that you can click on to register. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll sign those and pass them back down the row. And if you are visiting with us and would like to learn a little bit more about West End, you can share an email address or a mailing address, and we will reach out to you in the days ahead. This is an exciting Sunday. We want to invite you after this service to go downstairs to the gym for our engagement party. It's a ministry fair. We have about 35 tables set up with different ministries of the church, and it's a great opportunity to walk around and see what some of the ministries, Sunday school classes, committees, outreach ministries are that we have, and to pray about and think about a new way that you might get connected and serve around here. I did have someone ask me, where's the gym? And it's amazing how we can hide a gymnasium. It's not easy to find. But if you go back downstairs to the main entrance that we call the magic doors, right by the receptionist desk, you'll see the doors are open. You could tell there's a party going on in there. So we invite you to come and be part of the fun. While you're there, if you will stop by the lay leadership table, we have a card for our bishop. Some of you may know Bishop Bill McAlilly was in a car accident this past week. He had multiple fractures. He had surgery on Friday. He's doing well, expecting a full recovery. But we wanted, as a congregation, to send him our love and greetings and prayers. So if you'll stop by the lay leadership table and sign that card, I'm sure he will be grateful to hear from you. Lots of ministries going on this time of year. Tonight, from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, our older elementary fellowship kicks off. It'll be down in McWhorter. These are for students 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. And then upstairs in the youth area, our 7th through 12th graders will gather for youth small groups. And that is also from 5 to 7. Wednesday nights got off to a wonderful start this past week. We had a great time at dinner, meeting new people, and enjoying that fellowship. So there's more information in your bulletin, but I encourage you to make that Wednesday night part of your regular routine each week. If you are visiting with us and perhaps interested in becoming a member of West End, making this your church home, we wanted to let you know there's a new member class that will be starting on September 11th. At 9:45 during the Sunday school hour. It will run for 4 weeks, and we would love to have you join us there. And finally, every Sunday going forward for the next semester, our college students are invited to join together for lunch after the 11 o'clock service. So if by chance any college students woke up early enough to be in this service, come back around at noon and join the group for lunch. We're grateful for our brass musicians, our timpani musicians. Our organ is still a work in progress, so please continue your prayers for that. But we're grateful that they are with us on this Jubilee Sunday to help us lift our voices in praise. Let us prepare now to do just that.
Thank you. God, our Creator, calls us to hospitality. Let us give generously to those as God has given to us. May our lives be a sacrifice of praise.
May our
let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are and what we are carrying are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. God, our helper, we confess that we have praised you with our lips, but not with our lives. We have not welcomed others as you have welcomed us. We have avoided strangers and forgotten the part of the suffering. We have not honored our relationships. We have loud mothers. Forgive us, steadfast God, and guide us to amend our ways. Help us to follow your example of compassion and generosity, that we may build up another crowd. And in so doing, and now, God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proved God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love in whatever way you feel comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you. One of our greatest gifts of joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Ryan and Catherine Winchescus brings their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Ryan and Catherine, I ask you now before this congregation and on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with the community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Ryan and Catherine, what name have you given your son?
William Jackson Wincheski.
William Jackson Wincheski. I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will live within you to be your comforter and advocate all the days of your life. Okay. Now we're going to ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit to be in your life. So we're going to ask Mom and Dad and Pastor Brandon to lay hands on you and pray together. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen.
Amen.
Are you ready to go for a little walk? You can just stay sleeping. We'll just walk slowly. I put a lot of people to sleep.
You can slide center there.
But your church family wants to get a better look at you, because you are our newest brother in Christ. And we have some promises that we want to make to you. We are going to do our very best to teach you what love looks like, to help you see what it looks like to follow Jesus in our world today. We're going to love you well. Some of these folks are going to be Sunday school teachers and confirmation teachers and vacation Bible school teachers. Others are just going to greet you on Sunday mornings and call you by name and make sure that you feel loved and you know you have a place to belong. So let's allow this promise to seep into your ears while you rest.
Will the congregations please stand and face William Jackson? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the whole...
Members of the household of God, I commend William Jackson to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, William Jackson, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please join with me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 through 6, and verses 15 through 16. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge the fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd love for the children who are here to come forward and join me if you'd like. And if you're watching from home, just move a little closer to your screens and let's have a moment together. Come on up. Wow, what a good group we have. As you're coming up, let's form a circle. Okay, can we make a circle all around the communion table? In a big circle? Can we come around this way? I know I made y'all move last week, too.
Can we make a big circle?
Pastor Maggie's really good at this. Okay, can we make a circle? Let's pretend that we are... It doesn't have to be a perfect circle. Just a sort of a circle. Okay, that's good. This gives us the idea. Okay, now we can drop our hands and close around. Let's imagine that this is our church family. We're all in this circle, and we all know each other, and we all love each other, and we take really good care of each other. And isn't it wonderful to have a place where we belong, where people know us and love us? We just want to just close in our circle and keep it just like it is. But look at there. We have some new people coming up to the circle. Come on up to the circle. And look, there's Pastor Brandon, and he's new. And he's kind of standing outside the circle. What do we do? What should we do? Should we include Pastor Brandon? I think so. Let's make the circle a little bit wider. Make space for Pastor Brandon. There we go. That's sort of what we do in church. We have a family of church, our church family. We know each other and we love each other and we do our best to care for each other. But we always want to be making room for new people because there are always people who need a place to belong. So I'm grateful that when I was new here, everybody welcomed me and made me feel special. And I hope that if you're new here, everybody welcomes you and makes you feel special because you have a place to belong here. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for our church family, for people who know our names, people who can love us and care for us and help us learn about you. We also want to have our eyes wide open for new people, for strangers who may not have been here before. Help us to be welcoming and loving and make sure that everyone has a place to belong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being willing to make a circle today, and I promise next week we'll go back to normal and we'll all sit over there together. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Francis to Children's Church, and if you're older than 5, you can go back to sit with parents or friends. Raise your hand if you have ever heard a pastor say this: "I'm sorry that my sermon was so short." No hands? No hands? No. I don't know that I've ever said that. I haven't ever apologized for a sermon that was too short. And I don't know that I've ever heard anyone complain that my sermon was too short. But believe it or not, at the end of the book of Hebrews, which we have been talking about over the past 3 weeks as a sort of sermon, a word of exhortation, the writer apologizes that it's so brief. I wonder why that is. Maybe they were used to hearing and reading much longer sermons. Or maybe he knew that they needed a lot of encouragement. If you've been with us over the past 3 weeks, if you've been worshiping online or worshiping here in the sanctuary, you know that we've been spending time in Hebrews 11, 12, and 13 for these 3 weeks. We've been listening in on this sermon that a pastor offered to a congregation that he knew and loved because he heard that they were tired. Their spirits were drooping. They were growing weary in being faithful and following Jesus. Some of them had been dragged away to prison. Some were being persecuted. Some were just having a hard time following Jesus in a world that didn't welcome the ways of Jesus. And so over the past couple of weeks, we've explored this sermon and how he has offered encouragement to them. The first week, we looked at how he held up the examples of their spiritual ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, Noah and Barak and Rahab and Samson, and all of these who had kept the faith, who had done their part and run the race, even though they hadn't seen the full promises of God fulfilled. And he encourages them by holding up that example. And then last week, we came to the end of that great roll call of the saints, to the culmination, really the high point of the whole sermon at the beginning of chapter 12, when he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us keep the faith, let us run the race looking to Jesus." And so we spent some time last week exploring what that means to look to Jesus to help us keep the faith. And finally, this morning, we hear as the preacher brings his brief sermon to a close, how do they keep the faith? And he reminds them that you keep the faith by living the faith. You keep the faith by doing the faith, by doing the things we know God wants us to do. And so he gives them these instructions. They're like bullet points. They sort of remind us perhaps of the Ten Commandments or the book of Deuteronomy or Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Just instruction after instruction, inviting them to faithfulness. And so I want to spend a little bit of time looking at these various instructions that he gives and to listen for how these instructions given 2,000 years ago can speak into our lives and into our time. Especially if we are feeling weary and having a hard time keeping the faith. The first thing he says to them is, let mutual love continue. And I hear that and I think about the congregation, the family of Christ, the church, the people who are gathered together hearing this sermon of the preacher 2,000 years ago. Love one another. Take care of each other. And we read in the New Testament all of these examples of how that early church loved one another, how they cared for the widows and the orphans in their midst, how there wasn't one among them that was in need, how the early first century folks would look in on the people of the church and say, see how they love one another. Keep the faith by loving one another. And I see that. In our midst, I see that among us here at West End, how you love and care for one another. Well, this is a big church, and there's no way you can know everyone. But I want to tell you that I see you caring for each other and welcoming people and making and building relationships with each other. This past month, I've been teaching a Sunday school class, the Bible and Spirit class, And at the beginning of each class, they check in with each other and they talk about who among their members is in need, who's had surgery, who's in rehab, who needs some help. And they'll talk about so-and-so brought a meal and I gave them a call, and I just observe and witness how they love and care for each other. And I see you doing that all over this congregation. I was so inspired on Wednesday night as I saw people sitting around the tables who didn't know each other and making conversation and caring for each other and going to get a refill of water and just giving each other a sense of community and love. And that's at the heart of who we're called to be as the people of God, those who know each other and love each other and take care of each other. And we can always do better. We always want to continue working on that to make sure that we're taking good care of each other. I'm really grateful for those of you who will email us or call us pastors to say, by the way, did you know that so-and-so is having surgery? Because we don't always know. We want to know. So let us know. Call Erin Racine. She's the one who helps coordinate all that so we can pray with you and be alongside you in those times and help others to care for you too. So let mutual love continue, and that will help you keep the faith. That will keep you strong. The next thing he says, which I sort of tried to illustrate with the children, is don't forget to show hospitality to the stranger. Be sure you continue not only to look inward and to care for one another, but to look outward and pay attention to the stranger, to the new. Remember what it was like, many of you, the first time you walked into this place and didn't know anyone? Remember that. And so when you see someone you don't know, reach out the hand of fellowship. And I know I've heard many of you say, what if I reach out and they say, well, I've been a member 20 years. Well, that's okay. They're new to you. And so it's an opportunity to make a new friend, to be the one to initiate the love and the welcome. And of course, I think this preacher is talking more about more than just welcoming people into the community. But as we go out in the world to make sure that we are offering hospitality to those in need, hospitality to the stranger, being open with love and grace and not afraid to reach out the hand of fellowship. The preacher moves on. And this next thing he says is so interesting. Remember those in prison and those who are being tortured. Now, it may be that the preacher is talking primarily about fellow Christians who are being persecuted and imprisoned for their faith. Don't forget the suffering of your other church family members. Take it on as if it's your own suffering. But I think he perhaps means more than that. Because there are other places that Jesus himself says, I was in prison and you visited me. Whether someone is connected to this congregation or not, we are called to be visiting the prisons, to be out and about in the world wherever there is suffering, wherever there is oppression, wherever there is need. Don't forget the suffering of the world. Let us not get so insulated and so numb to the hurts of the world that we ignore them. Again, this is something I believe we work on and we do well as a congregation, to keep before us the needs of the world. We cannot do it all. We cannot heal all the wounds. We cannot solve all the social injustices in the world. But we can continue to listen and act and do what we can, together and individually. So the preacher reminds them, keep the faith, keep looking outward with generosity and compassion to those who are suffering and hurting in the community. Now, it would have been nice if he would have stopped there, because now he gets to meddling. He goes inside our homes with the next thing he says, and he says, honor the marriage vow. Be faithful in your covenant to your spouse, to your family. Don't you think that's kind of getting to meddling? But he's saying your faith should shape every aspect of your life. There is no part of your life that is hidden from God. No part of your life that you can categorize as not part of your faith journey. And these relationships that are closest to you in your life, whether it's your partner, your children, your roommate, your closest friends, whoever it may be, you ought to live out the love of God, most especially with them. This is perhaps one of the more challenging teachings. I have had the privilege over my years of ministry to gather with family members in preparation for a funeral or a memorial service and hear the stories of their loved ones. One of the things I do if I'm giving the homily at a funeral or memorial service is I collect all of the stories and the recollections of the family and friends in combination with what I know about the person in order to celebrate their life and lift it up to God. And I can't tell you how inspiring it is to me when I hear the person's children, when I hear their spouse talk about their love and their faithfulness, that they were just as kind and generous at home as they were out in public. And there have been some times when I've met with families who have said our loved one was a really good person out in public, but not so much at home. And so here is this ancient preacher reminding us that it's not just our public lives that matter before God. It is our private, personal lives and what happens in the most intimate relationships we have, where we live out our faith, and perhaps where we are stretched the most to love us, love others as God loves us. So he moves on, and he keeps meddling, because now he starts talking about money. We don't like to talk about money, but Jesus talks about it a lot, and so does Paul, and so does this preacher in the book of Hebrews. He says, be careful not to fall in love with money, but be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. Isn't that countercultural? I mean, if we as the people of God can be content with what we have, how radical is that? In a society, in a world that is so driven by teaching us that we don't quite have everything we need, that we'd be happy if we just had a little more. Ask your doctor about the purple pill. I don't know what the purple pill is, but now I think I need it. I don't know how many of you are doctors, or you're so tired of hearing about the purple pill. But that's what happens in our advertising and marketing, creating a need that we didn't know we had, giving us this constant restlessness that we need a little more. And yet the preacher says, be content with what you have. That word content in the Greek is literally anti-love of money, anti-greed. Be actively working against greed in our own spirits and in our world. This teaching alone takes a lot of prayer and a lot of practice, and it is a lifetime journey, at least for me, to learn and practice contentment. And that's the truth with all of these teachings that he offers us. It's all a practice. It's all a journey. It's all a process of growing deeper in love with God and growing more and more into Christ-likeness. We can tell that by the verbs he uses. It's continue to love one another. Remember not to forget those in prison. Continue honoring the marriage vow. Continue this. Continue the growth. And he reminds them in some verses after this that we didn't hear this morning that this life with God is not about checking off boxes and obeying rules that have been laid out before us, but about having a heart steeped in grace that continues to work within us. A couple of verses later, he offers the benediction to them, and he says, may the peace of Christ be with you, and may God continue to work in you to make you complete. Another word for that is that you might be whole, that you might have integrity, that you might be the same person at home and out in the world, that you might become perfect, perfected in love. I'm grateful to be on this journey. And I'm grateful to have you as companions on the journey, my family in Christ. Thanks be to God.
As those who are being made whole by the God who loves us, I now invite you to rise in body or spirit as we join our voices together to proclaim our faith in this God by using our statement of faith of the United Church of Canada found on 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God, and we are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you have prayer concerns that you would like to share with our pastoral team so that we might pray for them throughout the week, you may either submit those online, especially those who are worshiping online with us today, and you can do that by following the link on our website under Contact Us. If you're worshiping in the sanctuary, you can also find a gray card located in the pew rack in front of you, and you may place your prayer concerns on that card and then drop that card in the offering plates in a few moments as they are passed. This morning, this beautiful rose on our communion table represents and helps us celebrate the birth of Jack Charles Whipple, who was born August 17th to Matt and Amanda Whipple. Also, our prayers of sympathy are with several families this week. First, we pray for the family of longtime West End member Sarah Frost Stamps, who passed away on August 21st. Services were held Wednesday at West End, and she is survived by a great number of West End members. Daughters Sally Swore, Mary Gamble, and Martha Stamps. Sons-in-law Sammy Swore and Tom Gamble. And grandchildren Richard Swore, Keith Gamble, Phelps Gamble, Mariah Williams, Sadie Reed, and John Mark Reed. We also pray for the family of Dave Mullendore, who passed away on August 23rd. A memorial service is planned for Saturday, September 10th at 11:30 a.m. in the West End Sanctuary. Visitation will be in Reed Hall, and it will precede the service beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. Among his survivors are his wife Karen Mullendore and their son Ames Mullendore. Also, we pray for Jane Hamm and her family, who are mourning the death of her brother, Harry Courtney Tuttle, who passed away on August 17th. Services will be held in Pensacola, Florida, on August 30th. Finally, we want to continue to pray for our own bishop, Bill McAlilly, who oversees our conference, the Tennessee Western Kentucky Annual Conference. Bishop McAlilly was in a car accident on Thursday, August 25th, on I-24, and he suffered multiple fractures and ankle injuries. He had a successful surgery on Friday to make repairs, and he is now in recovery. His family appreciates our ongoing prayers, and we pray for peace and healing in the coming days and weeks for Bishop McAlilly. And if you go to the engagement party downstairs in the gym in a little bit, we actually have a card for Bishop McAlilly, so you may sign that so that we may send our prayers for healing directly to him. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of mutual love and grace, You surround us with your warmly embracing spirit. You guide our lives so that they are patterned after your ways. We pray that you would keep us focused on you. Help us remember that our actions toward others and our relationships with others can be filled with the same mutual love and grace that you share with us. God, you never leave us and you never forsake us. Make us people who never forsake you either. Strengthen our desire and commitment to be people of your way. Lord, you are our helper, and we will not be afraid. We pray fearlessly and boldly this day for the things that we hope, the things that we lament, and the things with which we struggle. We pray for those persons near and far who need to sense your presence this day. We lift to you those persons and places and spaces that are on our hearts and minds. And we lift ourselves up as persons in need of your care and compassion. No matter what is happening in our lives right now, we trust that you are with us. Help us lean into this truth each and every day. Help us trust that you hold us securely in all things. Lord Jesus Christ, we lift our prayers in your name, knowing that our petitions for hope and healing and wholeness are the sweetest offering you could receive. So now hear our souls sing our prayers and petitions as we enter a moment of silent prayer. And now, with the confidence of those who have been saved from our own frailty and fear, we join our voices together to pray as Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to simply give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you who are worshiping online, you may give according to the instructions on the screen or in the chat. And those of you here, of course, may give through the offering plate as well. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
Sorry that my sermon was not brief enough, but I leave you now with these final words from the ancient preacher of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.